some organizations are having a different way of compensating. One is skill-based pay. They are going to give higher skilled person more pay as compared to those who are having semi-skilled or unskilled. And some of the special competencies if a person is having to achieve the organizational objectives in a better way, he will be paid higher. For example, say a salesman or a marketing person from a hospital, when he is able to attract more number of patients to be admitted in the hospital, naturally he will be paid more as compared to the one who is not able to attract that many number of patients. Then comes variable pay, where a pay system in which an individual's compensation is contingent on performance. They see how is the performance of this person. Maybe in some of the cases, like again salesman, maybe a fixed pay may be given to him for a month, say 15,000 rupees per month, and a variable pay is also given based on the amount of clients he is bringing. Up to a certain level, say suppose he is bringing 50 clients in a month, the fixed pay whatever is being given, 15,000 per month, he will be given. But then the variable pay will depend on higher the number of clients a person gets, higher the variable pay also will be added to his fixed salary. And this is how in some month, if he is bringing say 80 patients, he may be paid 20,000 rupees, so 15,000 plus 5,000 as a variable pay. In some month, suppose he is bringing 25,000 may be given because he has brought 150 patients for that particular month. So this is how even a variable pay concept is there in compensation. Now, why do organizations offer various employee benefits in today's world? One can easily understand today is the day of lot of competition, lot of global competition is there in today's world, because newer and newer hospitals and healthcare centers are coming up, newer and newer daycare centers are coming up, and hence to attract the patients, one needs to have the highly qualified and highly committed and competent employees in a hospital, then only you can survive and get better and better profits. So nowadays the organization has to look further than just designing a compensation system and annual salary. You may have to give certain special benefits to your employees. This may be in the form of non-financial rewards which are designed to enrich employees' lives. Many organizations are legally required to provide social security in the form of, say, accident benefit. Suppose any family member of this employee has any accident, then they are provided with free treatment for that accident, as well as in case the employee or his family member because of the accident develops some permanent partial disability, then also compensation is given to them even though it has not occurred within the premises of the hospital. So social security, life and disability insurance. So hospitalization needed for any major sickness also, they are covered under insurance. Retirement programs in the form of contributory provident fund, say whatever amount of provident fund is deducted as per the rule, equal amount is given by the company, and on top of that around 8 to 9% of interest is given every month, and then it accumulates over a period of years. When he retires, everything is given. Similarly, a pension scheme may be there whereby cumulative pension he will get, and at the end he may compute that, say 30% if he wishes, otherwise full pension may be given to him. So the various kinds of retirement program, including gratuity pension, contributory pension, contributory provident fund, etc., may be there. And health insurance, even post retirement, at times are given to the employees, whereby up to 1 to 2 lakh rupees per year it can be covered, or maybe 3 to 5 lakh rupees. And some of the hospitals may be having that if they are admitted in their own hospital, maybe at the 50% charge or totally free, they may be able to get their benefits. So it depends on the hospital and their policies. Now let's understand a very important act regarding the compensation, if we see the payment of Wages Act, which has been enacted in 1936, because these were the days, and earlier to that, lot of entrepreneurs were exploiting the employees to a large extent. They were not being paid for 2 to 3 months, even if they have completed their work for the month. And even for minor kind of damages that were occurring to the entrepreneur because of the worker, a huge fine was taken from his salary. And this, to prevent these things, the government has enacted this law. The object of this act is to regulate the payment of wages to certain classes of persons employed in industry in a particular form and at regular intervals, and to prevent unauthorized deductions from the wages. The act is concerned merely with the fixation of wage periods, that means every month they have to give the wage, and it is not with fixation of wages per se. It doesn't mean that they have to give this much of minimum wage or this much of living wage or fair wage and things like that. It is only every month they have to give. That is what this act is about. The obligation of management under this act is, you have to fix the time to pay wages, not longer than a month. So the management must pay within 7 days of the wage period if the number of employees are less than 1000 in their industry. So if a hospital is having say 800 employees, then they will have to give the payment to each employee within 7 days of the month. Let me say, 1st of January people are starting working, 31st of January it is getting over. So by 7th of February they are supposed to give them wages. They cannot give the wages after 7th of February. Earlier days people were given wages on 15th of February or 15th of March or 15th of April also for the month of January. So these things, to prevent this kind of practices, this law has been enacted. In case the hospital is having more than 1000 employees, then within 10 days they are supposed to give. That means the payment month, suppose is January, then by 10th of February at least they should be giving. Payment to be made on working day within working hours. So you cannot call the employees to collect the pay on Sunday, when Sunday is a holiday for your hospital. So it has to be given on the working day and within working hours. Suppose the employee is working from, say, in the first shift, say 7 to 3, then he should be getting his salary during 7 to 3 period only. He cannot be called specially to wait for one more hour and at 4 o'clock everybody will be given the salary. It cannot be done like that under this act. Usually, most of the time, earlier days, the payment was given in cash. Nowadays it is given in check, but one has to take the consent of the employee if you are giving him in check. And nowadays even NEFT is done, whereby directly the salary is given in his bank account. So the payment should be made in full without any deductions except those authorized by law. There are certain deductions which are authorized by law. Except those deductions, one should never deduct a single paisa from his salary. Now, what are these deductions from wages which are authorized by law under Payment of Wages Act 1936? The following should be deemed to be deduction from wages. One is every payment made by the employed person to the employer or his agent. Any loss of wages resulting from the imposition for good and sufficient cause upon a person employed. Deductions which may be made from wages are some fines. Suppose the person has caused some property loss of the hospital. Due to him, some table has been broken, some glassware has been broken, then whatever the amount of money that is there for that particular glassware or table should be deducted from his salary, only that much, not beyond that. As a punishment, you can't say that my glassware was actually has costed me say 1000 rupees, but now as a punishment I am going to deduct 2000 rupees from your salary. That is not allowed. Deductions due to absence from duty. If a person has remained absent beyond his regular leave, say a person is supposed to get say 15 or 10 casual leave, 1 month of, or 30 PL and say 10 half pay sick leave. Beyond that, if a person has remained absent during the period of 1 year, then that can be deducted from his salary. So deduction due to absence from duty is allowed. Deductions for damages to or loss of goods expressly entrusted to employed person for custody or for loss of money for which he is required to account, where such damage or loss is directly attributed to his neglect. If due to negligence of the employee, if there is a property loss, or if for a cashier he is supposed to be taking care of the money and if he has given extra money to somebody and due to his negligence it has occurred, then it will be deducted from his salary. Deductions for house accommodation supplied by the employer. If employer has given him house accommodation, then whatever are the rental requirements to be paid can be deducted from his salary. Deductions for such amenities and services supplied by the employer as the state government or any other officer specified by it in this behalf made by general or special order. Then deductions for recovery of advances and loans. If somebody has taken festival advance, say 10,000 rupees for Diwali, then after Diwali from next month onwards, maybe every month 2,000 rupees or 1,000 rupees may be deducted from his salary as per the agreement made in the collective bargaining or whatever has been done between the employer and the employee. So deductions for recovery of advances and loans. If the loan has been given to him for some purpose, maybe for marriage, for his child's education, for whatever reason, or festival loan is given, then it can be deducted from his salary. Deductions of income tax payable by the employed person. Whatever income tax is due from the employee to the government can be deducted from his salary and deposited to the government, given it to the government. Deductions for the payment to cooperative societies approved by the state government or any other officer specified by it. Deductions made with the written authentication, authorization of the person employed for the payment of any premium on his life insurance policy under the LIC Act 1956. So if the person has authorized that the LIC premium should be deducted from his salary and given it to LIC directly by the employer, then only it can be deducted from his salary. Deductions made within the written authorization of employed person for the payment of his contribution to any fund constituted by the employer or a trade union registered under the Trade Union Act 1926 for the welfare of the employees and their families. The fees due to the trade union, if it has been agreed, then it can be deducted, or for some fund, if it has been agreed, then only it should be deducted from his salary. Deductions made with written authorization of the employed person for contribution to Prime Minister's National Relief Fund in case of earthquake or flood or whatever, but that also should be voluntary. That means the person should have given writing that you can, they have authorized the employer to deduct that, then only it should be deducted. And by order of court, if court has given an order to the employer that this amount must be deducted from this employee's salary, then only it can be done. If we see, this is how we have seen the application of Wages Act, every hospital has to follow. Now, whenever the once the hospital has decided about the compensation policy, now how it is to be applied that way every month, when a person enters and gets a new job in the hospital, his appointment letter with his salary details should be given by HRM to the accounts department, so that once the month is over, that can be given to the employee. Of course, as per the rule, initially for 3 months he cannot take leave and all. But afterwards, if the person has taken leave and suppose it is unauthorized leave, where the salary is to be deducted, then these details should be given by the HR manager from the immediate superior and to the accounts department, so that that much salary can be deducted from his pay check. And all the details about his festival leave, casual leave, sick leave, etc. should be given to the accounts department. If there is a change in salary due to the annual increment or some appreciation given, that also should be intimated by the HR manager to the accounts department, so that accordingly the changes can be made in the salary of this person. If a person has resigned or he has retired, that intimation has to be given in writing by the HR manager to the accounts department, so that unnecessarily the salary is not deposited in his account for the next month. So this is how we have seen the administration of wage and salary can be done. Now, a plan for administration of wages and salary is always a changing process which requires continuous study and frequent revision. It is very important that the hospital should provide for frequent checks on job description to make sure that they are essentially correct. Periodic wage surveys should be made to determine the prevailing wages which are paid in the neighboring hospitals, so that your employees are less likely to leave your hospital and go to other hospitals. It's a mean of explaining the procedure in use to new employees. One should do periodic reviews of all wages and salary structures, so that any inconsistencies should be removed and it will strengthen the program in general. Ultimately, the responsibility of the development and administration of fair and equitable wage and salary administration system should rest with line managers, but HR managers are going to give them expert advice regarding that, and they can do periodical wage surveys within the organization and outside the organizations, and then see to it that they are at par with the other organizations also, so that their employees are motivated to work for that hospital and they remain loyal and satisfied with the job. Thank you.